You're back on Filter, and we have the one and only legendary Scott Ross on the line. Scott, are you there?
I am here. How's it going?
Good. Where's my air horn? I should have had my air horn loaded up. This is Scott's first repeat visit to Filter, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to see how long we can go without talking about the you-know-what. You know what I'm talking about?
It is gray, and I wish it wasn't. I wish it was blue sky. That's what we're talking about, right?
Oh, God, I can't believe you talked about that. I can't believe you
talked about
the weather. Oh, no, I was more thinking about the COVIDPANDEMIC.
I could talk about that a while, but we'll skip it today.
Maybe, but if it comes up, then owe me $5. No, I owe you $5. We'll come up with a plan. We'll tell you all about how much money I owe Scott after this. But when we had you on before, we talked about that particular topic,
right,
which is still obviously a huge deal. But I just actually kind of want to know, as we get back into this, I mean, things are going well at Finisterre. You reopened. Deborah's happy. You're happy. Life is good?
Life is good, yeah. You know, it's still a struggle, of course, and it's a day-to-day kind of situation, but we feel pretty positive at this point.
That's great. And you were saying you had a wild service last night, and so I assume you're making money and serving up great food. Can you give us a little hint? Since I think we're going to talk a little bit about food today with Scott, because we didn't talk as much about food last time as I would have liked. And this was sort of supposed to be a food fight / pizza party episode, but what's on the menu right now? Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, right now I'm really, we got some great things. We always have our Cape Clear Coho salmon. We're doing that with barro and artichoke hearts, mushrooms, roast pepper, kind of a more earthier style, good for this cooler weather. We'll probably be moving into spring shortly. We did start doing a ravioli again, our ricotta and ravioli. That's done with some like sugar snap peas kind of tossed on top, radishes and mint, a light butter sauce, just a really lighter, delicate, more spring style dish for sure.
Mm.
Of course, we always have the classic chicken liver mousse.
Oh, yeah.
People either love it or hate it. Most people love it, and we have a lot of converts with that one. Our croquettes, of course, and lots of nice spring salads coming on, too.
So you're converting people who've never liked mousse or pate to your chicken liver mousse?
Well, particularly a liver style, yeah. Most people are hesitant to try it. Some people won't retry, but for the most part, people are pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I'd be happy with it. I love that little bite of liver.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. There's probably some technical term for it, but
it's kind of on a crostini. So, like a classic, you get a little piece of bread. You generally a baguette. You make it nice and crisp, and then you put things on top. In this case, the chicken liver mousse with a pickled red onion.
Ugh, man. I grew up like not liking liver, but then slowly coming into the love of it, and especially through pate, which is where I would want to eat it, you know, most frequently. But when I was a kid, my parents would buy half a steer from a farm nearby, and we would have to eat liver once a month. And my mom always made it smell like flank steak. I would always think like, oh yeah, it must be flank steak night, and I'd come downstairs and be like, no, God. But I would get through it.
Yeah, my son won't eat it either.
Yeah. Well, and you're not forcing him.
No.
You're not trying to turn your kid into a foodie. That is not your plan.
Well, I don't want to turn him away from food. And, you know, if you force, you know, you got to try things time to time. But if you're too forceful, then they go the other opposite direction.
That's been my sort of my thought on it, was not trying to make dinner time a fun time, even if you're not eating the best food, or what I would consider to be the best food for your kids, at least that you're not trying to make it seem like, oh, you have to eat this before you leave the table, which is kind of how it was in my house growing up.
Right. Right.
And I guess I turned out okay. I'll eat anything twice is what I say.
Yeah,
typically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause you can't just do it the once. Some people say once, you gotta try something twice. If I hadn't had uni twice, it would not be like my favorite thing from the sushi counter.
It definitely is a required taste you gotta grow into. Yeah, the first time I had it, not so much, but you keep going back to it, and it gets better every time. And now just thinking of it makes me happy.
You guys ever think about getting some sea urchin on the menu? Is that something that's really locally available, or is that more difficult?
It is. Yeah, we get it every once in a while. It's once again, it's a hard sell. But right now, with the current state of the world, we'll say, we're not pushing the envelope too much in those kind of things.
Nice save. Nice save.
Yeah.
Good work on there. So something people don't
know. But it will be back.
Okay, I will call me, okay? Call me. I'm doing the call me symbol. You can't see it because this is a radio, but like I'm doing the call me symbol right now. And it's and I'm like motioning with one hand. I'm doing the uni symbol, which is like, I guess, just me creating a spiky ball in my hand. And then I got the phone by my ear. So, yeah. Just so the listeners know, something that people may not know about Scott Ross is that he is a very, very smart and intelligent poster on this Facebook group called Wait a Minute, This Isn't Flavortown.
This is not Flavortown, where the heck am I? That's it.
Yeah, this is not Flavortown. Yeah, where the hell am I?
I always
dig your posts on there, and it makes me think sometimes. I'm like, well, I wonder what it's like. Is Scott like really making these interesting foods, like these sort of foods that other people might not think are delicious all the time at home? Like, are you being what's the weirdest thing you've eaten in the last couple of weeks that maybe didn't end up on the site, but, certainly.
I don't do it all the time. Mostly at home, we have a 6-year-old that dictates what we have. So moving into the topic of pizza, a lot of frozen pizzas.
Oh man. Okay.
And cheese, of course, you know, he doesn't like anything on it. And, it's not as exciting as some people would think, but we try every once in a while.
Well, like you make it look good on the internet. So that is important. And I'm in that same boat. So Liam's eating a lot of frozen pizzas. Son's eating a lot of frozen pizzas. Like what brand are you going for typically?
The Sicilian's the new one we really like because of the cheeses that's on it. Because once again, we're going for the cheese. The dough for me is a little sweet, but not bad. And the sauce is actually kind of nice. It has a little depth to it, so which those frozen pizzas don't always have.
The brand is Sicilian, or is it?
The Sicilian. It's the guy with the mouth open and the pizza in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're the ones that advertise they have like the biggest pepperoni pizza or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Have you... this is a place that I have been unwilling to go, but maybe you've already gone there. The croissant crust pizza that is...
No, I haven't. I the texture just throws me off. I love croissants, but I like them as croissants.
Yeah.
I'm pretty open-minded, but I'm not going to buy it frozen. At that point, it's a gimmick. If I got a restaurant I trust that's doing it, then yeah, I'll give it a try. But frozen pizza, I don't know. It's trying to be something it's not at that point.
You're going to keep it simple, and especially since you have a certain palate to please, it needs to be. So he's doing mostly just cheese, not any interesting toppings.
Yeah, not too much. But, you know, we can do like sliced meats. We get it from the shop, and, you know, you can fancy it up a little bit too.
Do you and Deborah fancy up your pizzas when you're eating with Liam like that?
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah, if we got something laying around, we'll throw something extra on top and just make it a little nicer.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever put on a pizza?
The weirdest thing I've ever put on a pizza? I can't. I mean, I've had an uni pizza before, and that was pretty good.
An uni pizza?
You know, just get a little of that, a little white sauce.
Oh.
You're not putting tomato sauce on it, obviously.
Wow.
But keep it simple.
I want to get there, and my brain doesn't quite take me there, even though I'm super hungry. Are you spreading
you
it around?
Oh yeah. You almost make like an uni butter.
Okay.
And kind of use that, right?
Wow.
And you're not putting any really, like, you might put a little sauce on it, like a horseradish or something would be nice too. You kind of mix that in with the butter, but keep it simple. You know, pizza doesn't have to be 1,000 things on top of it.
Well, in the spirit of like clam pizza, I could see an uni pizza being really, really amazing. My current obsession, well, it's been like 2 years now. I can't stop thinking about mapo tofu. It's all I want to eat, half the time. And, I know years ago, Danny Bowen did a mapo pizza that I remember Dave Chang put on his Instagram. And the minute I saw it, I was like, holy gods above, I need to eat that. And, you know, it's obviously, I don't think it was going to happen because it wasn't even a regular on their menu at Mission Chinese. So even going down there.
Right.
So I know it's one of those foods, which always happens to me in Port Townsend, living in a rural area, that I have to, if I want to eat it, I have to make it myself. And Mapo pizza, just something about it, because Mapo is so, it's so weirdly Italian, right? It's like a very, there's no tomatoes in it, although I put a little tomato paste in my base. But it's not, but it has this texture and this feeling like you're eating a ragu.
Yeah.
So that's, man, that's not something I've eaten on pizza, but that's something that I desperately want to eat on pizza.
Yeah. Pizza is you're talking about tomatoes, you know, that they've only had that for 500 years. So it's been a long history before that there wasn't even that there. So it's more of what you make of it, right? You get some bread, you get some nice dough, and you get it started. And as long as you're making it balanced, it's going to be good, whatever you put on top there.
Wait, that's a strong statement. No, it doesn't matter what you put on it as long as it's balanced. So we could do bananas and marshmallows.
I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and you I'm sure you remember the pizza counters where you just all you can eat buffets.
Oh yeah. Shakey's.
I have a sick affection with the dessert pizzas that were there. You know, I haven't had them because the place I used to go, it was in Wenatchee. It shut down, you know, years ago. But it's probably for the best because it won't ruin the experience for me as a kid.
Well.
But, you can make sweet pizzas. Once again, you make a little sweeter dough. You plan it out and just make it right.
Yeah, I guess I'm not averse to sweet pizzas. It's more like bananas and marshmallows right off the top don't sound like a place I want to go. So maybe that's just personal preference. And, you know, my mom loved peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. So peanut butter and mayonnaise pizza. We should run through these possible combinations and say.
I'm okay with not having that pizza, but I won't hate people that like it.
The thing for me that's always hard is letting go of the red sauce, right? So Zeke's has had, I don't know, when I lived in Seattle, they had this great mushroom pizza that was just like a white sauce, like a white garlic sauce with just all sorts of different types of fungi in it and cheese.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Oh, yeah, you remember that one? Yeah, that was like my go-to from Zeke's. And it's probably the only pizza that I would consistently order that didn't have a red sauce. That's because that's iconic for me. It's hard to step away from the red sauce in some ways and transfer out. I don't know.
But when you try something nice, it's you can be converted. Like if you're going to do a vegetable pizza, right? Maybe the red sauce isn't the best thing. Maybe you want like a white sauce on there with your spinach and, you know, things like that. And then you can make something really fun that way too, and herbaceous. And it allows you to play with more once you kind of step away. Because red sauce has such a particular taste, especially if you're using that San Marzano tomatoes, the classic, like the margarita with the buffalo mozzarella, the basil on top. You know, you got the sweet, you got the tart, you got everything going on. So, of course, if you think of pizza with a red sauce and bread and then start there, there's a lot of things that don't work with that. I definitely wouldn't put bananas on that.
Right.
But there's other ways you can go to make it different.
Like a marshmallow cream sauce, you know, like just the base of Rice Krispie treats spread around a doughy shell. Maybe I'm losing my mind.
I think you're going to, I think we're going to tough off the deep end of this. Anything could be a pizza.
Well,
to each their own.
Let's see if we can bring ourselves back around. But first, you brought us a song today, which I'm really excited for. Can you give us, can you introduce it for us real quick?
Yeah, Chili Mac. It's anytime it comes on my dining room, I just get really excited because it has a really fun beat. I always think the theme of Shaft is coming on, but it's not. It's just a really fun, cool song. Yeah, I just like it.
Well,
it has one of my favorite two food combinations,
which we're going to talk about after the song. This is this is called Chili Mac by Preston Love. We're talking to Scott Ross, one half of Finisterre, Port Townsend's preeminent fine dining with accessible fine dining, let's say, because I'm able to eat there. We're really happy to have you, Scott. let's listen to some Chili Mac and then talk about it, okay? Let's actually do a KPTZ, see what's upcoming on KPTZ.
Hi, I'm Don Trethaway and a KPTZ volunteer and the host of Music from the Cardboard Box. I provide your Monday morning soundtrack, and I also connect with the remote feed from the Board of County Commissioners meeting every Monday at 9:45 a.m. It's been an honor to help make these important public health briefings available to our community of listeners. So please help us continue to provide this kind of programming by visiting kptz.org to make a donation. And thank you.
And thank you, Don Trethaway, for being Don Trethaway. I can't shout you out enough for all your support and your hilarity and your wisdom. So cheers to you, Don. And cheers to you, Scott Ross, for bringing a song called Chili Mac into my life. And also an album called Preston Loves Omaha Barbecue, which is just the collection of these jazzy cuts that are all named after delicious things you might eat at a barbecue.
Yeah, it's a good way to spend a day.
Yeah, and so Chili Mac, that song, you know, sort of encapsulates the airy, breezy feeling that you have when you get some mac and cheese or just some straight macaroni and cover it in a delicious, hopefully Texas style chili, but maybe you're gonna do it different. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it's, if it works together, it's fine by me. You know, I'm not too picky when it comes to that.
So, well, but let's just, cause I didn't grow up eating Chili Mac, right? My mom was from the South, but she never really made chili that much. I had to kind of reclaim her Texas chili roots. And I'm getting better at making chili. I'm proud of my chili these days. I made chili last night and I think it was pretty good. And, I think Louisa's eating it right now. My girlfriend, she sent me a picture of, the chili. It had cheese on it. Then on the side, it had a runny egg and a little sour cream and, you know, covered in scallions. And, well, I didn't really eat breakfast, so I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, yeah. But, that sounds good, yeah. I think I really hate it when it's too watery. I really like when the sauce, like, really settles. It gets a little denser. It reduces a little bit more. You know, you got to go slow and low on that. And just you got to make the flavors really sing together. You need a little spice. You always need some kind of spice.
Yeah, I feel it needs to be like a condiment, like a sauce and not a soup. And I think when people make chili and it's like a soup, that it can still taste good, but that is not my definition of chili. It really should be something that after it's spent the night.
That always reminds me of beans and water, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
Nothing's cohesive.
I agree 100%. You know, it needs to have, it needs to flop. Chili got to flop for it to work for me.
I like it.
But my first impression of Chili Mac was that, you know, I had just heard about Chili Mac. I'd never really eaten it because I didn't grow up eating it and I didn't go to any places that served it. But I was really into making chili and somebody mentioned Chili Mac and I was like, well, I just make mac and cheese and I plop I plop some chili on it and I mix it together and it's just sort of that's Chili Mac. Is that Chili Mac or is it just without it being mac and cheese, just chili on elbow pasta?
No, I think you need I think you need the cheese, right? You need that spicy chili and that kind of rich and creamy mac and cheese. Like that's what really does it for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically doing the thing that the sour cream you're talking about does. It's like you need something to offset that spice or like kind of bring it back and balance it out.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, really, and I like mine a little bit more chili forward with this little mac and cheese in there. It's got to have good balance, though, like anything.
Right, like anything, but you don't want it, I mean, and I guess it depends on the chili you're using and the spice level of it, how much you're going to apply in this case. Well, do you think that Scott Ross or Deborah Taylor may ever put an entry into Port Townsend's world famous chili cook-off competition?
Oh, I don't know. We always put a lot on our plates that keep us going. I don't know if that's something. I don't know. I'm sure she has a recipe somewhere. She always has something hidden behind everything. So There may be one back there. Who knows? Well, only the future will tell.
What about when you make chili, Scott Ross? What kind of chili do you typically make? It's got a plop, but, you know, do you have like a meat preference or anything like that, preference?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a pedestrian. I get the canned chili most of the time.
Okay. Okay.
Once again, it's what's fast and easy and I can make while Liam's eating his mac and cheese, and I get some chili, and there you go.
Yeah. Well, I
that'll work.
You know what? There's no judgment here. You know, I've put way too much time and thought into making foods that pretty much my kids can't eat. So I'm kind of in the habit now of making two different dinners. So, and you don't have that luxury because you guys literally make dinner for a living. It's sort of one of the reasons that I'm so glad I never went into the food industry or became a chef or anything like that, because the freedom to be able to cook for myself, to be a home cook, not that I would have been a good cook in a restaurant or anything, not trying to say that, but like, man, I love that privacy and freedom to just do what I want. In terms of the kitchen,
it's two very different styles of kitchen cooking, for sure.
Yeah,
you know, it's when you're cooking for a group of people at night and you're trying to make it consistent, you're doing the same thing over and over again. It's a delicate balance of making sure it's coming out structurally like how you want it, the same every time, but making it special at the same time. And that's a lot of technique, and that's a lot of practice that it takes to do that.
Well, let's combine our topics. So, chili on pizza. It's something I've never really thought about until this conversation. Yeah. But, I could see taking a slice of cheese pizza and putting a plop of chili on it and kind of rolling it up like a Philly taco, maybe?
Yeah, it may work. I don't know. I think it's too soupy for me.
Yeah.
Even if you're breaking it down a little bit. But, you know, I also like, I do the bastardized Mexican pizza, you know, where you got the tortilla and the beans and you kind of go that way. And so there could be something there. You got to figure out.
Wait, tell me about that. Tell me about that. I've never thought about that.
You never, like, it's basically you make a taco on a flat tostada, but you want it like crispy. And then you just put like some refried beans on there. And then you add your ground beef on top, and then you need a little salsa and like cheddar cheese. And there you go.
Wow. Okay. This is a revelation. Cause I guess
there you go.
But it have to be like layers of tortilla, right? To kind of get at that pizza level, because you want to be able to pick it up by the bottom. And I guess a tostada is not going to get super soggy.
That's why you get you just get the small one, like the 6-incher or the 3-incher, you know, and just something small, and you just kind of smear it on top, and yeah, you eat it like that, and it's going to get messy, but it's gonna taste all right.
Mm. Oh man. Well,
that's really stretching the pizza there, though. I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I guess we're allowed. These are the foods that we're allowed to improvise with.
Yeah,
right?
Once again, this is something I do in my home. We don't have this on the
yeah. We'll make that clear distinction.
Let me clarify. This
going
is
to
me eating alone in the dark, so no one can see what I'm doing to this food.
Do not go to Finisterre for a Mexican pizza. Do not order. Well, unless you guys have is there a secret Finisterre menu that you're not telling people about?
No. We do have our old sous chefs are doing tacos on Mondays and Tuesdays right now, but no, that's what they're doing.
You know what I love? When you've been to a restaurant long enough and they've changed the menu, but they will still make things that were on the old menu for you. I loved, I don't know if you've ever been to Schultz's Sausage in the U District. In Seattle?
Right. Yeah. I haven't been there, but I know of it.
Oh, man. Well, I grew up going to that place. My older brother used to work there. So, you know, I used to go when it was a little hole in the wall on the Ave, and then they expanded into this big German restaurant, and it turned into frat boy hell. Whereas before, the frat boys couldn't sit in there, and then they could spend all day in there in the bar, which is fine. But they're, you know, lots of different types of sausage because it's a bro down. But they would do this, a sausage burger. First place I ever ate something like a sausage burger, and it was like a flattened andouille patty called the Bubba. And they took it off the menu when they moved to the big place, but you could still go in and order it. And I would just love going in and ordering it. And, you know, the wait person was like newer, they'd be like, "What is that?" And they'd go talk to the bartender or veteran person, and they'd just tell them how to do it or tell them how to put in the order.
Nice.
Was that annoying of me to do that? Like, is that an acceptable practice in a restaurant, do you think?
I think if they have the time, you know, don't go in during their happy hour when they got all those bros coming in for cheap eats and they're just crushed. But if it's like a Sunday afternoon, it's nothing's going on. If they got the stuff to make it, it's usually no problem.
Okay.
It depends on the establishment. But for us, if we try to make things happen for people. So if we have stuff, we can make it happen. It's not, you know, the middle of a Friday night rush in the middle of summer. You know, we'll do what we can for sure.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. The only other place I would do that is Farino's, the Farino's Delight, which has disappeared from the menu, but you can still find the delight. If you know, if Adam Burns is working when you go there and he's not conked out after dipping into his stash of pre-recall for Locos, he can hook you up. Oh, and Adam, did I just reveal too much? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Farino's forever. Not that I promote particular businesses here, but Finisterre is also an amazing restaurant.
Thank you.
And we're really glad to have you with us here in Port Townsend and back serving people indoors. And with all sorts of safety protocols. And are you doing about half the number of tables as before? Or are you doing, what's...
Yeah, about that. We're still short. Our capacity was much higher than we ever sat. So we're doing pretty close to half, especially with the bar gone. You know, that's nine seats right there. So it's still pretty minimal.
And any plans to bring back the homemade pasta happy hour?
That's back.
It is back.
Yeah, we're doing that. Yeah, 3 to 5, Wednesday through Saturday. The days are open. We do happy hour. And we do the kitchen comes up with a really fantastic dish every time. It's they kind of do it daily. Sometimes it runs. If we like it, we run it a couple days. But, yeah, we have that. We have a lot of great things, and that's where you can find the cheeseburger now.
Okay.
That's on our happy hour menu.
Well, last question before I let you go. Have you heard this podcast called The Sporkful?
No.
Okay, so this guy, Dan Pashman, this was like an offshoot of his podcast, an NPR podcast called The Spork Bowl, where he did Mission Impossible. And his goal was, he was like, I don't like, you know, there's room for a new pasta shape, one that maximizes like sauceability and bite, toothsomeness. I forget. He created these criteria and then decided that he was going to invent a new pasta shape. And
there's already not enough, of course.
Right, of course there's not enough. And, you know, the whole podcast shapes his or traces his journey, where it was a ton of people being like, no, why do you want to make a new pasta shape? It doesn't make any sense. Like, there are plenty of them. But he still goes, you know, he goes through the plan and he, you know, you learn about how they create these dyes the for all the massive pasta producers. And just sort of how much it costs, and you learn about the process in that way, and how they determine these what shapes will work, you know. So he created this thing. It's like a I don't even know what to say, like a ziti on crack, called Cascatelli, named after like a waterfall, Italian waterfall. And I just ordered some of it, so I'm gonna try and find out just how good it is myself. But
nice.
I was thinking of you guys, and I was like, yeah, man, like, if there is this world where you could create your own pasta shape, you know, had you ever thought about that or been down that path? And maybe Finisterre could start doing some similar innovation on their own.
That's we have an extruder that has the dyes, and it's it's already mind-blowing how many pasta shapes there are out there for me.
Yeah.
It's insane. So, no, you don't want to take anything off this table, but we kind of go with the classics here. And we got a lot of fun ones that we play with, and some that are better at catching sauces, some that are better for the light butter kind of things. You know, there's so many great ones that why mess with something that's not broken?
Amen, brother. Well, your pastas are delicious. Finisterre is amazing, and welcome back to serving people for a living 1 year later.
Feels great.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, and know that we'll check in again soon. And I really appreciate all your thoughts on pizza, and the fact that you've eaten an uni pizza has me thinking that I might be ready to branch out and get some of that next time I...
And you just want to make sure you know who you're dealing with, who's making it for you. You know, there's things like, why is that a pizza? But if it's made by the right person, it works out. So, yeah, just trust your sources.
Okay, well, I will do my best to trust my sources, and I trust that you will have a great service today, and a happy weekend, and be well, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye-bye.